Hey everyone, if you're listening to this, it means my books, How to Become a Pro Cyclist, and Details and Protocols are now out, and here's a clip from my first book, How to Become a Pro Cyclist. As always, you can get them at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com, or anywhere you find me, there's probably a link. That's the only place you can get them. I don't do any advertising on this podcast, it's just a way for you to get some quick, free clips from the first book to see if this might be something you enjoy. Here's a snapshot from one of the podcasts with Allison Jackson. A lot of people know AJ from her social media, but if you can get her to tell you the stories from when she was just trying to get to Europe to get a chance to try to compete, those stories are way better. So I hope you enjoy. If you don't know AJ, she's Canada's best female cyclist and one of the best female cyclists in the world. Yeah. Olympian, Paris-Roubaix winner, and absolutely hilarious if you follow her on social media. If you like this content, it would mean the world to me if you shared it, because you never forget those people that helped you out in the beginning when you were just trying to get off the ground. Share it, tag me in it if you want me to repost it. I see them all, and here's the thing. Yes, it helps, and it helps this book reach more people, but it also makes you look cool and confident to your followers, because then you're the type of person that doesn't only talk about themselves, but gets excited for other people and cheers for other people and hopes they do well as well. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this little clip from Allison Jackson, and if you want to get the whole book, go to howtobecomeaprocyclist.com. Yeah, you burned through it really. Yeah, you were one of these people that finished it in like 2 days.
I mean, I was traveling.
What did you think?
I was traveling, so I had a lot of just like sit and wait time. No, it was great. Okay. It's fun. I mean, I love stories. And yeah, you got a lot of stories, Jack. You've been collecting, doing a lot of story collecting in the past years. But also, there's so much things that. Yeah, were like new to me, like the parts of your story I never knew. So then, yeah, it was just fun. Also, the flow of the book was really good to just like keep it going. And I think that's why you, once you're like on it, or once you're listening to it, you just keep going.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part then? Did anything stand out?
Well, I think just... Oh yeah, like if I could pick a story that was a favorite story. I don't know if I could think of one right now. But your situation when you first went to Europe, and it's like, yeah, all in and trying to make it happen with like so little, you know, like you're just like trying to get by. And I just think of like, some of my scenarios when I first was trying, or like living out of a van for the first couple of years when I was in North America to like, yeah, make it work. But also at a point, like when I read it now, I'm like, oh my gosh, that seems so exhausting. And even like if I had my own story, if I had to do that again, I probably would be like, oh, right now that might feel really exhausting. But that's because either you're older, or now you've had like better resources, or even like the apartment that you have now with the great view. And so even when I read it, it's like, yeah, when you're kids or when you're younger, you just are so stoked to be there and like participate in whatever is happening. So yeah, that's pretty funny. Or all your very like in Canada, the skiing at night. But also I laugh at how serious you took the not being seen getting up to the ski hill, because probably also if you were just like walking, people would have driven by and probably wouldn't have like done too much anyway. Like Canada's pretty chill.
No,
but,
way.
But to take it so serious, oh, so funny.
I'm not a rule breaker. This was like a big deal for me. I'm like, oh no, they're gonna call the police.
I know, that's the thing. It's like more of a big deal to you than it was to like any of the cars that were driving by. That was pretty funny.
Oh, but you should have seen when I finally got caught in the fifth year, this guy's face when I told him that I've been doing this for 5 years, and he's just like, you're the guy. The way he exploded, it was so funny. But everyone hears those stories and then they think I'm crazy. But all I remember is the first time we met in person. I think it was before Bergen World Championships.
Yeah.
And we were riding, and we're just riding beside each other, and you start telling me about what you're doing, and you start telling me you're living in a tent on a truck, like going up to Alaska and stuff. I'm like, what the hell? Like, okay. Like, you're, my stuff is really vanilla compared to the stuff that you and Swain have for stories. My stuff is like tame. Like, I went home and showered and slept in my own bed every night. You're telling me about sleeping in a truck in the middle of nowhere.
Or, I remember, so, I mean, you know how, yeah, like BC weather, and it's like all rain. And I remember for like a whole month, also while we were living in Canada, we still lived out of this sort of like, yeah. Well, it wasn't the canvas tent that would have, but it was still like a truck vehicle. And then we had put a wood stove in, but then it was always like so smoky inside if we ever tried to use it. And then I would wake up and I was just thought I would be cold for the rest of my life. Like I would wake up and it'd be like you're warm, but you have to get out and make your breakfast and like build the fire and you're cold. And then you go out training for whatever 4 hours in the rain. And then you come back and you have to like wash the bike and put it away, but you're still cold. And then you have to build the fire before you like have the shower in the thing that's cold. And then I would just crawl into bed and just be like, wow, I'm gonna be cold forever. But
like, yeah, I don't have any, well, I have a couple of stories like this, but you guys did this for like months on end.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous. You tell me, like, I'm going to the world championships with this girl and she's telling me about how she's been living in a tent in Alaska for how long. I'm like, Jesus, like, okay, clearly you have a lot of talent here. Like, how are you doing this?
But I think what's so important is that, like, whatever you're doing, you have to have fun, right? Because even when I read your story and I'm like, because, yeah, I'm like, this guy is so extreme, or how I told you before, I think you're so disciplined. Or like, what did you say? Something like you didn't have a cookie for me when you were like 13 to 18 or something. I don't know what this
was. I didn't have any fast food from, I didn't have any fast food other than Oreo McFlurries. I'd let myself have those once in a while from my 11th birthday until after Tour of Alsace in 2019.
That's crazy. Because I eat cookies every ride that I ever do. But anyway, and so there's just like points where it's like, oh, if I did all the things that you did exactly in your, you know, like if I used your book as a training guide and I just copied exactly, I would be so burnt out and sad, because it's not like what like is my, yeah, burning desire, what's like so fun. But then, you know, you flip that around and anyone that would copy exactly what I did would also probably not have, like, it doesn't translate exactly into the same results. You know, you have to like live through life and you have to figure out the moments that, yeah, what's going to be hard for you that you can manage that's going to make you better, and then what's also just like the stuff that's going to be really fun.
I agree 100%, because like for me it doesn't seem like discipline, but like I just like having that structure in my life. Like I just find my brain works better that way. The whole having fun thing, like that's why I got really lucky to have Swain as a mentor, because I love, like, the stuff that I found fun was doing these like crazy days in the mountains, or like sneaking onto the ski trails in the middle of the night and stuff like that. But everyone else would look at me like I'm a space alien when I talk about this like cool idea that I have for like a camping trip or something like that. And then Swain's doing like way more crazier stuff than me, and I'm just like, okay, so like he made it, like, so clearly I can, maybe this will work, maybe I can make it work, maybe it'll work.
Yeah,
so yeah. No, I had way too much fun with it.
Yeah, the legend of Swain Tuff is also so fun. Like, you know, as you grow up in BC, you just, like, hear about this guy. And then the stories, you think sometimes are getting, like, amplified, like, out of control, like, bigger, bigger. But it's real. And then when you talk to him for real, he's like, oh, and then he'll share some other detail that makes it even wilder. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Like, the stories you hear about him, like, the stuff that gets published, you're like, oh, yeah, that can't be real. And then you talk to him, and there's the stories are way gnarlier, yeah. But there's just stuff that they can't, like, make public. Yeah. Like, when you talk to him one-on-one, like a campfire chat, and you hear the real details, and you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
it's so good.
How are you alive?
And he's still doing it. It's just, that's, how he is, yeah.
But, that's the other reason why I enjoyed my career so much for that, is hearing the stories from him being like, man, when I had like nothing, I could just like sit under a tree and read a book for like 3 days because I had nowhere to be, nowhere to go. It's like happiest time of my life. I loved hearing that stuff. Like that, it's like, okay, yeah, this is really special. I got nothing to lose, so I might as well try.
Yeah.
Did I leave anything out? If you were to give advice for 15, 20, 25-year-old you, was there anything I left out? Anything you'd want to tell her?
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, sometimes when I thought, for me, if I look back at my life, I would just be like, wow, Halsam, you did a great job. Just do that exactly. But I think it's because you can't necessarily rewrite your own story, and the things that didn't work, you know, helped you along the way anyway. But I would say, main things are like, you got to keep it fun. So you got to, and you totally talked about this in your book, like things that you love to do, and you got to create a community wherever you are and have a balance of things that if stuff in cycling isn't going well, you have other interests, other hobbies, other things that you can rely on to like give you the good feelings, give you back some of your, you know, self-confidence, to then take back, you know, into cycling when it kind of, you know, comes from the low spot back to a high. And then the other thing, like I did when I first started, I kept a spreadsheet. So this is something that, and I'm sure you had to do a lot of, you had to do a lot of your own like finance management and how you were going to even like, what funding did you need? And if you go to Europe, like how are you going to actually budget? Like not just the big cost of like how you get there, but once you're there, what are you going to do? And so even for me, for the first year, just basically keeping a spreadsheet of like expenses, like what did it cost me like per month when I was on the road? Where did I pick up prize money? Because in my first year, it was a $0 salary. So then you just survive by, yeah, if you can win some money to feed yourself along the way, then at the end, yeah, are you actually in a good spot? But then by keeping basically a spreadsheet of your income and expenses, then you can also, when sponsors or people want to help you out, you also have specifics that you can give, or it's not just any number. Because I think a lot of times it's hard to ask for money. But if you can see that you have a real need, or show, even if it's like a business, if you're like, you know, you really want this, you want to ask for it, but you need to have some markers of where is this going to, and what is the need. And I've talked to a couple of kids about that too. And, you know, their local bike club wants to help them out. But you know, a lot of these, girls and guys at the club, you know, they're business people. So, you know, they want to see, kind of where their money is going or how it's going to help you, or, you know, that keeps them more invested when they, know how their money is working. So that would be just another thing. Even if at start, maybe it's hard to predict what resources you need or what cost things will be, but even retroactively, just writing it out. And then year by year, you can sort of see an overall or like the averages of what you can kind of expect for like prize money income. And what are the general expenses, or if you do a trip over to Europe, like if you're there for 3 weeks, this is kind of what it'll cost.
Interesting. Okay, because there was a part in the book, like one of the things that I cut out was like trying to, it was called like how to make like sponsorship proposals and stuff like that, but I cut it out because it's like, I don't think I actually did this that well. Like, I don't think I'm very good at that. So I was trying to think like, what I would always do is like, you just make like a sponsor proposal and you try to make it really nice with like Canva. And then I would make like a personal video, like a screen recording, like for that person to like attach with it. I mean, maybe like to make it even easier for them, like I'd upload it to YouTube with like an unlisted link, and then you can just send it to whoever the business owner is and stuff like that. Do you have any ideas? Like, I don't think I did it very well. Like, I got a lot of practice at making all these sponsor proposals, but I feel like I wasn't one of the best athletes at asking for money and trying to do that. Do you have any advice for that? That's great, like making a spreadsheet of it so you can say exactly what your expenses were. Do you have any other advice on that? How to do it?
Yeah, so for me, like I know in the first year or two, I did reach out to a number of different businesses and people to help me get to my first like European project and also world championships, I think. or another like national team project or whatever, or like trying to guest ride for a team. There's a few things, you know, to and try to get tickets paid for or whatever. And also like you shared like you had one sponsor that it was easier for that business to like buy your flights because of their points. And I think that's like, I also had a guy do the same thing for me because he had a ton of business points, and so that really fit for him. But yeah, I think you want to be clear what your ask is, and also like a lot of people, they want to be generous. And so it's not even a lot of people have a hard time asking for money, but a lot of people actually just want to give and want to help and want to see people, you know, when you see someone that's really passionate about what they're doing and really excited about, people want to get involved in that. And especially if, you know, you know, this person has been at their business for, you know, 15 years, 20 years, and it can be kind of boring, or maybe their life seems, you know, pretty regular. And I think we all sort of think that maybe a little bit about ourselves, that it's, oh, this is pretty regular for me. So when you see something that's just like a little bit different, someone's really passionate about it, it gets you excited. And if you can be involved in some way. So I think, as athletes, you have to remember that this is, although it might be your dream and your passion, what's great about sport is that it really brings people together, and it's, you know, your success really can spread and be felt by so many more people who are involved in your journey. And I always thought, like, for all the people that are involved, whether financially or I had a lot of like my family is so involved in church, and I had a lot of people in church that would just wanted to pray for me and be involved. And that way, like any way that people are involved later, you, whatever success you feel, you know, I would send notes to all these people and just be like, remember this, like you are so important. This part, my success is also your success. Like I won this race, but it was only because of these parts that you did. And that, and I think like we can see that really obviously if someone wins an Olympic medal, or even like I winning Paris-Roubaix, I've had so many people come up to me and tell me their story of where they were, what they were doing when I won. And it's they have a full experience themselves, a very personal experience. It's my win, but it really is so many other people's wins. And that's maybe easier to understand or see or feel, but that happens on such a small scale too, when people are like, oh, I helped you when you were 15. I drove you to the airport. And you know, and then you went and you were third at that, you know, whatever race they can't pronounce. And you know, it was because of me. You know, people like want to take a little bit of ownership of that. So I think first you have to know that like, what you have is like a valuable product, and also that feeling, it leaves really good feelings for a lot of other people besides just yourself. And then, you want to be clear what your ask is. And also for me, for sure, my personality and my energy of what I wanted to do, I'm very excitable, and I think I pass that on to other people. And if you can pitch that way too, where people get excited, or, you know, and you don't have to be like that, for sure, is like one of my special skills of just my personality. But even if you're, I mean, if you are trying to be a bike racer, it's because you really want it. And if you're going to start and ask, it's because you want it. And just allow that to show through, whether it's in a very German way or in a very Allison Jackson way. I would just say like allow your energy to show through, have a clear ask. I mean, don't be afraid to ask. And I think when also if you share maybe some more of your specifics, like is it a flight, is it, you know, food, is it housing or whatever, people might have other creative solutions for you. So whether it's, you know, oh, I definitely have all these air mile points that, you know, paying for a flight would be easy for me, or oh, actually, you know, my sister lives in Belgium, they probably have a room that you could stay in while you're there, or you know, I have these vouchers for something, or my business has, you know, what have you, or we actually know the guy at the bike shop that could supply you with all this extra stuff or whatever. Allow by sharing the need, I think it allows other creative brains to to think and give you maybe an answer for your problem that wasn't how you thought it would be solved, but other people can, do that for you. And then I think it's, for me, it was in a lot of spaces and places, I just always talked about what I was doing. And then, you know, you have to listen for when people say, oh, if you need anything, just let me know. And I was never, also, you know, when someone says, you go to someone's house, and they say, oh, make yourself at home. And I'm like, I will absolutely. But just so you know, I literally will go through all of your whole fridge and your pantry. Like, I'm looking for snacks. And I'm not shy to do that. So you also have to take it up when people offer the help. Or then, you know, you go back to that and you say, hey, you know, I loved that you, you know, said that you, you know, if I needed anything, you would help, and right now I kind of have this need and wondering if you find that any of this would fit what you were thinking.
Awesome. Well, okay, so two things I thought of when you were saying that. First of all, I have my story from when you won Paris-Roubaix. I know exactly where I was. Mm-hmm. I was in Kutai staying at the All Suite in my bedroom, and I was like, it was a rest day for me, and I was just looking out the window. I was like, oh, it's snowing, thank God I'm in here. I was like, oh, let's watch some bike racing. And Allison Jackson winning Paris-Roubaix, I was like, and I'm sure you got like 5 million voice memos like the one I sent you. It's like, how did this happen? This is unbelievable.
Just shouting and screaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We won't repeat what I said, but yeah. And the second thing is, I think you said that you did this, and I think I was maybe not smart, but I'm glad that I figured this out. Like, when I first started doing this, is when you're trying to make it as a bike racer and you're getting help from all these people that just want to help you, and then like to show, like to give them something back for it. You don't have a lot of money. Like, you can't go buying them a Rolex or something like that, mm-hmm. but just like finding little ways to show your appreciation for those people. Like, so there was like two or three companies that helped me a lot from Squamish, like when I was just getting in Europe and just trying to get by. And just like making them I'd like win a race that year, and I'd print off the photo and like frame it, and then just make like something nice to give them. Mm-hmm. Like, it costs like, I don't know, $20 to do all of this, like buying a picture frame at Walmart and printing off a photo and stuff like that. But they love it. And then they like put it up in their office, like they're so proud of it. Mm-hmm. Or like you give them a jersey or stuff like that, which was so nice. Like, oh, a gift with like a handwritten note on it. And I'm just like, it like makes them
You're
smile,
so
but
cute.
It costs you nothing. Yeah, it's fun. Hey, how many Christmas cards have you gotten from me? Like, doing all these stupid Christmas cards.
Yeah, I got two in the same year.
That's because I thought I lost it. I went to the post office and I thought it was on the passenger seat, and it turns out I mailed it, but I'm like, no, I lost AJ's Christmas card. I have to send her a second one. So you got two Christmas cards last year.
But it was great because I got one in Canada and one in Europe. My two addresses.
But see, I that makes me happier than it may. I think I probably smiled and laughed from that more than you did, but it's so much fun.
No, but that's absolutely, like, I think these gestures of thank yous don't have to be huge, because I think a lot of times people, their participation in what they did is already like enough that, you know, makes them feel good. But to also just recognize, like, it's really important to recognize what people have done and that they have, you know, and also, yeah, to reward generosity, like, what a great thing and character quality to have for your whole life. And if you can, you know, appreciate those moments, and exactly, it can be a small thing. It can be, I mean, even like really writing an email and sharing a story of, you know, what the impact of what they did for you was. And also, even it, because I've talked to a lot of kids too, it was like, oh, well, I did this, and, you know, or the pressure to win after, and also a lot of times you don't have to win. Even in the larger scale marketing sense, like, storytelling can do a lot for you in marketing, or telling the story of like what it took to be an athlete, and you don't necessarily have to win. And I think like my team does a really good job of storytelling. So like with EF Cannondale, you can get a lot of fans without being the, you know, the best team or without being like the Tour de France winner. But by doing the storytelling and you connecting with a character, with a person, with a human, the human story, then, I mean, that grows such a big fan base. And so if you think of that as an individual or a young athlete, and you get, you know, your first, your best result, and it was like 16th, but you tell the story about how you had all these mechanicals and you crashed in the ditch three times and you got up and then you got this result, and you may get this like story and like, okay, and you know, we're looking forward to next year. If I can get through this race without the crashes and the mechanicals, then imagine what I could come away with. And so I think it's, yeah, a lot of it is just like how you tell the story and also just be, you know, very grateful for what the give was, that, you know, the donor had offered.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a couple of mechanicals, maybe a crash, went into a ditch three times. Yeah, but we had a great time. Can't wait to do it again next year. Yeah. Like, that's what every sponsor can relate to.
Yeah, totally.
So what was it like? That's amazing. Like your first year in Europe, like you managed to go to Europe on with a $0 salary. Like how did you manage this? This is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I always say like, you know, kids will ask like, how do you make it pro? And I say,
hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed that. AJ is awesome, eh? Hopefully that little clip gives you an idea if this book might be for you or not. If it is, you can get the whole thing at howtobecomeaprocyclist.com or anywhere you find me, there's probably a link. It's the only place you can get it, and there's only one option to buy it. It's a bundle where you get the ebook, the audiobook, and the video series all together. So there's so much more content you get, and then you can decide how you want to consume it, read, listen, or watch. The video series obviously lets you watch this like video, but there's also a lot more content. Think videos, photos, screen recordings, and just more details that can't be added in text or audio alone. Plus, if English is your second language and you have a hard time understanding myself or anyone else in the book, the video series is much easier since you have text and audio paired together. Lastly, if you enjoyed this, share it with your friends. I don't do any advertising on this podcast. It's just a way to give you free parts of my books I spent a year of my life creating. So it would mean the world to me if you shared it. And I do see it every time you do. So you'll have an IOU in the bank with me. Maybe you can cash in one day.